Good morning. The last few years, I've had to learn how to use readers as I have a hard time with things up close. And it was pointed out to me the last time I gave a lesson, I was taking them on an awful lot, and the boys were giving me a hard time. When I was cleaning them this morning, one lens fell out. So if my lens falls out and I've got one eye closed, just bear with me because I have a hard time with things up close. This morning, I'd just like to give some quick thoughts as we go about our lives and as we wait for the coming of our Lord. We go about our lives, we have difficulties, we have challenges, but yet there's a lot of good things. And so as we go about our lives, I just want to bring to our attention 8 ways that we are to wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord coming to take those faithful Christians home. I don't know if we think about it that way because we have so many concerns, so many things that we're working towards, goals we're trying to attain. But really we are. We're looking, as Christians, we're looking forward to our Lord returning. We're looking forward to our home in heaven and all the joy that we're going to experience with our Lord and Savior and fellow Christians there. And as we go about our lives, we're not to waste our time. We're not to spend it on frivolous things. We have our hobbies. We have our jobs. But we want to make sure that we are spending this time as we're waiting for our Lord to come. We're spending it on things that serve God. We're serving it on study. We're serving it on time with fellow Christians, things like that. And so just 8 things real quick that maybe can focus our minds as we go about our lives. The first one I had was we need to acknowledge God's sovereign control of all things. As Christians, we understand from the very beginning, God created heaven and earth. He created everything. He created us. He created just everything, all the many material blessings that we have. We understand that. We appreciate it, and we're thankful for that. In Ecclesiastes 7, 13 and 14, consider the work of God who can make straight what he has made crooked. In the day of prosperity, be joyful. In the day of adversity, consider, God has made the one as well as the other, so that man may not find out anything that will be after him. God knows everything. God knows the things that we discover in science, the things that we think are epiphanies in our world. God already knew. God created it. And so we just need to acknowledge that he's in control of everything. And in the world around us, many people, they're trying to explain away all the things that we simply just look to God and are thankful for. And so let's just, again, thank God and remember that he is our sovereign and in control of everything that is around us. The second is, because he created everything, we need to remember that we depend upon God. We have complete dependence upon him for all things. He's put things on this world, food, shelter, those things that that helps us survive. And we just have to be mindful of that and just be thankful for that and remember that we are dependent upon his grace and long-suffering. As Job rightly confessed, it is the Lord who gives and takes away, in Job 1:21. Also, the Apostle Paul expressed this in Romans 11:36, from God are all things. In 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, you are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So we just need to remember and acknowledge that we depend upon him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. Proverbs 3:5. It's easy in our world as we go through our education, as we go in the competitive situations that we're in, We want to lean on our own accomplishments. We want to lean on our own successes. And we have to remember whatever talents we have, whatever success we have, is relying upon all the good things that God gave us. So again, just be mindful that we depend upon God. I think we understand that, but worth remembering and repeating. Third is we need to seek spiritual strength from our Lord. Many times when I give lessons, I will start off with the kind of the half glass empty. There are challenges in this world and in this life. But really, there's a lot of joy. Well, either side, we just have to remember that our strength and our perseverance comes from the strength and God's word and how he puts the things around us to support us, fellow Christians, our family. And again, back to the core of his word. He's promised those things that will help us deal with life, thrive in life, but ultimately serve him as he would want us to do. Psalms 33, verse 20. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Psalms 27, 14. Psalms 31, 24. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who wait for the Lord. So we're drawn, he gives us things to defend ourselves, his word. He gives us things that will help us deal with things, deal with situations, his word. And we just have to remember to look towards it whenever we have those challenges. Or, again, just when we're thankful, just go to his word and be thankful for all the many guiding principles and examples and fellow Christians and disciples that he's put before us. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Psalms 23, 1 and 2. We do not suffer from a lack of anything we don't truly need right now, only because we have Christ. And again, as Christians, I think we would all very much agree with that, that God provides everything that we need in abundance. As we go to as we're waiting and going about our lives, waiting for our Lord's return, we need to be patient and quiet. In Lamentations 3, verse 26, it is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Psalm 62, 5, for God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from him. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I hope, my soul waits for the Lord, more than watchmen for the morning, more than watchmen for the morning. Psalms 130, 5 and 6. And that waiting is not an idea of twiddling our thumbs. It's not the idea of, well, there's nothing for me to do. It's that idea of we anxiously wait for something that's greater than anything we've ever imagined or can experience. And we just have to go about our work of serving God, being a good example to those people around us as we live our lives on this earth. The next one I had was refraining from needless fear and worry. Fear and worry can be something, things that overwhelm us and take our eyes off Christ. I'm guilty of that. I think all at different times we're all guilty of that. There's a lot of things that we, challenges we face throughout life. But many times on the good side, when things are going our way, I would dare to say many times we forget to pray and be thankful. Maybe that's not a situation for you, but I know a lot of folks, they only pray when things are bad and they're looking for help. You know, what about all those times when 90% of the time of your life when things are good? Are we looking for towards God and just being thankful and not having that fear and worry even when maybe it's warranted? Psalms 56, 3 and 4. When I'm afraid, I put my trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? God is our refuge, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear through the earth, though the earth gives ways, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Psalms 46, 1 and 3. God created all that. God created everything. So why would we fear about things that we're facing in this life? Why would we fear when God's on our side, when he's our Savior, when he's our Redeemer? Two more, and the lesson will be yours. Continuing to learn and obey God's commands. Again, that kind of goes along with we're not twiddling our thumbs as we're waiting for our Lord to return, as we're going about our lives, all the responsibilities that we have. Obviously, the most important being serving God. And again, as I mentioned in this lesson, and we've heard many times from this pulpit in Bible classes, God's word is what is our shield. It's what's our the thing that helps us through, gives us those examples, gives us those really wonderful prior examples of Christians and disciples that have fought the good fight, and we can draw a lot of comfort and a lot of strength from their examples. When I think of your rules from of old, I take comfort, O Lord. Your statutes have been my songs in the house of my sojourning. I remember your name in the night, O Lord, and keep your law. Psalms 119, 52, 54, and 55. These laws have been around since the beginning of time. God created them for us to know how to live, know how to serve him most importantly. And so it's really just a reminder that we as Christians, again, understand that. That's where we look to our strength. That's where we look to our guidance, is His Word. And it's unfortunate that many folks in the world are not that same way. Make me known. Make me to know Your ways, O Lord. Teach me Your paths. Lead me in Your truth and teach me. For You are of the God of my salvation. For You I wait all the day long. Psalms 25, 4 and 5. So again, another psalm is just about lead me in truth. Truth is His Word. And wait however long it takes for His coming. And through that, we see that we're just to grow in knowledge, our knowledge of Him, and our understanding of how we can serve Him better and how we can serve others around us. I got two more. Sorry, I miscounted there. We want to seek the Lord through constant prayer. In Romans 12:12, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayers. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. So again, spend our time in His Word, praying to Him, being thankful to Him, asking Him for those things that are right. And God hears the prayers of a righteous man. And the last one is, we just need to, as we're waiting for His return, we need to look forward to that final return. Because that's what our ultimate goal is. Again, we talk about heaven, but we forget that there's going to be that glorious part right before it where He comes back to earth and raises all those that followed Him to go back to heaven with Him. In 2 Peter 3, 11 through 13, since all these things are lust to be dissolved, for sort of people ought to be in the lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. But according to His promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. We all understand there's a place prepared for us. It's a beautiful place, wonderful place, not because of the beauty necessarily, but because we're there with our Lord and Savior. We need to eagerly wait for that return, do all that we can for people around us, look to His Word, and be a good servant, be a good student. And remember that we worship and praise a generous and merciful Creator. So we don't need to worry. We don't need to spend time on frivolous things. We need to, and again, I'm preaching to the choir here. It's always hard. We get wrapped up in things we have to deal with. But be thankful for our Lord. Let's be thankful as we go about our lives. Let's be thankful as we look forward to His coming and that day that we have a chance to be with Him and see His glory. And so I hope these thoughts have helped you as we go about our lives and we look at the great God that we serve. And it just helps us throughout this next week as we face the many challenges, but be thankful for those good things in our lives. That's the lesson. If you have any needs, please come forward as we stand and sing.